Good afternoon and welcome to Art Speak Radio. Ooh, can I hear myself? This is Maria Vasquez Boyd with you every Wednesday on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio, Art Speak Radio. Yay! Every Wednesday. And we have a room full of really talented creative people here in the studio today because, you know, Kansas City is like that. First off, we've got Susanna Lee, who's also known as Lucky Deluxe. We have Renee Agay from Enya Magazine, Amy Kligman with the Charlotte Street Foundation, and Andy Palatzian, who we love and adore. We carry her on our shoulders. She's with Mid-Continent Public Library, Whitney Branch. So let's get started because Susanna Lee has so much to talk about. She's performed her one-woman shows throughout the United States. Now, Susanna Lee is the founder and owner of The Outburst, which is a new performance space and gallery for offbeat, cutting-edge entertainment, and it's located in the Crossroads District. Actually, it's at 1715 Wyandotte. Now, The Outburst just opened January 13th and will regularly showcase multiple performance art genres, including stand-up, spoken word, solo shows, storytelling, live music, and more. And you can find out more information at www.theoutburstkc.com. Welcome, my friend.
Hello. Thank you very much for having me back.
It's always a pleasure to have you.
It's always a pleasure to be had by you, Maria. Oh.
Well, well. So tell us about what's happening at this beautiful new Outburst, you know, and congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
This is, you know, I've done a lot of things in my life that I'm proud of, but this thing is huge to me. So huge. It's so different for me to be a business lady, you know, and
yeah.
an artist.
Yeah.
And to be able to give opportunities to other artists, people that don't necessarily fit into the box of mainstream comedy clubs or bigger music venues. It's so nice to be able to give people opportunities and to have opportunities myself to build up a following, you know, and to do it in a sort of grassroots way that embraces the art that we make.
Well, and here in Kansas City, you are a legend. We love you, Susanna Lee. You've done so much. And the community, and then opening up opportunities for other creative people, storytellers, poets, and all that is just very good. And
it makes me feel so good. It's so nice to like go to sleep at night feeling really good,
yeah.
and wake up in the morning feeling good.
Now, we want to say that the OutburstKC.com at 1715 Wyandotte, it's where the original fish tank was. And
uh-huh.
I think they moved upstairs, yeah?
The aquarium is upstairs. Yeah.
Okay, very good. So let's talk about some of the events, some of the things that are going to take place in that space.
I have such an exciting calendar. This week is my first full week of shows. My full week right now runs Thursday through Sunday, and in March we'll add on Wednesdays. But this week I have a storytelling show on Thursday called Once Upon a Time. It's hosted by local comedian Merritt Lemons. And then Friday and Saturday, I have my first imported headliner all the way from L.A., a friend of mine, an amazing stand-up comic named Chris Fairbanks. He's the host of Almost Genius on True TV. He's also been on At Midnight. He's done a lot of stuff on Comedy Central. He's been on Conan. He had one of the greatest Conan sets. His last album... Oh, gosh, I don't know if it's his last album, but the album that he had that came out in 2010 was one of Amazon's top sellers.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And he's going to be here this Friday and Saturday, 8 and 10 o'clock, both nights. And then Sunday we're doing a benefit for a married couple, Paul and Gio. They were the recent victims of a hate crime. And they're beloved members of the Kansas City performing arts community, the burlesque community in specific. And we're doing a benefit show for them. It's a show that is regularly scheduled on the last Sunday of every month called Smut.
Mm-hmm.
It's public readings of erotica. And this month we're doing that as a benefit for them to, support them and show some love to try and, you know, make up for the hurt caused by hate.
Yeah. Gosh, so much going on. And I know that there is a calendar at your website.
Yes.
TheOutburstKC.com.
Mm-hmm.
So people can find out more about the events,
yep.
the time, date, ticket information, and that sort of thing. And I think, unless I'm mistaken, Joel Barrett.
Yes. Oh, Joel Barrett is doing two shows
wonderful.
A month. Oh, I love him
yeah.
so much.
Shout out to you, Joel.
Yes. Hello, Joel. I love you. He's amazing.
Yeah.
And you know what? And actually, he's a good example of one of the things that's happened that I'm most excited about with this whole process of opening the Outburst. I've met so many amazing people, so many amazing people. And it seems like everyone I've met and everyone I've met on your show has sort of like been a piece that's fit into this whole puzzle.
Yeah.
And it's just been, it's been one of the most life-changing experiences.
See, and I feel the same about Mark Manning,
who's
my radio husband.
Yes.
And he's connected the dots.
Mm-hmm.
And I've met a lot of really talented, creative, wonderful people, you know, through him.
Yeah.
And so, you know, just pay it forward.
Mm-hmm.
So
and
it's all
that.
Good. It's all good. Well, so when a guest comes into your space, are they going to see a little bit different arrangement? How are you set up in that in the outburst?
The outburst is beautiful.
Yeah,
I've put so much work into
yeah.
it. We have a couple purple walls. We have these beautiful, beautiful pink curtains that my friend Jocelyn Himes made for me.
We love Jocelyn. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, isn't she wonderful? Everyone, all my friends have really pitched in to help me bring this about and to
Let's
help me make it beautiful.
Show.
Yeah, totally, totally. Like, we're doing a breakdance competition to save the rec center, you know? It's wonderful. There's seats, there's chairs, there are places for you to sit, they're clean. They've been disinfected. I have mopped the floor. Everything just works wonderfully. It's a great space. It has really great energy. There's not a bad seat in the house. What else can I say? And the stuff that you're going to see there is not what you're going to see somewhere else. I'm bringing in artists and giving opportunities to people that don't have other outlets here in Kansas City. You know, I'm giving us as Kansas Cityans the opportunity to see artists that we wouldn't otherwise have the opportunity to see, especially not in this intimate of a setting.
So how do you find your folks? Or do they contact you? Or do you just sort of through contacts of, you know, oh, this person is that person and so on? I mean, how do you
all
find?
Of that?
Because, you know, people often ask me how I find guests on the show. And it's like, well, sometimes, you know, it is through connections. Sometimes it's just opening your eye and seeing what's around you.
Well, you know, I spent five years and 9 months out in Los Angeles, like 5 years, 9 months and 18 days out in L.A. And that was definitely the hardest period of my life. But I think that one of the positive things that came out of that is that I met so many performers, many comedians, so many other performers that don't come to Kansas City. And so many performers that when I saw them, I was shocked that I hadn't heard of them. I was shocked that I hadn't seen them. And it is... I believe that, I mean, I'm not saying like divine purposing, but I do believe that my time in LA, one of the main reasons that I was out there was to see these people and was to learn that there is this group of artists that should have more exposure.
Yeah.
And then coming back here and getting this opportunity to open the outburst, it does, like you said, it connects the dots.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So what will we expect for this show that's coming up? Who's going to be a part of that?
Which one? Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday?
Yes. whichever one you want to highlight.
Friday and Saturday, Chris Fairbanks. I'm really, really excited about bringing him in. He's an amazing comedian. So funny, so likable, so off the cuff. He's very stream of consciousness, very funny, very personable. And I'm really, really excited about bringing him in. You know, he's also a visual artist, also a skateboarder. So people that have multiple genres that they work in, kind of, you know, that's close to my own heart.
Absolutely.
And then Smut on Sunday, I'm really excited about that because I am very excited to be able to do something to help, you know, people. I'm excited to do something to further the love and try to, you know, we combat the hate with love. And I'm also just excited to read erotica in public.
and to be honest with you, I mean, unless it's like a Valentine's show and it's sort of G-rated, I mean, you don't really have that, at least that I'm aware of.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to, you know, I push back against the idea that the validity of entertainment is at all dependent on the cleanliness of it.
Yes.
You know?
Oh, I've been to your show, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can attest to that.
It's adult language and adult themes.
Yeah. And so that's really important for our listeners to understand that, you know, you may not want to take
Leave
your...
Leave the kids at home.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. If you just tuned in, I'm talking to Susanna Lee, Lucky Deluxe. We're talking about the Outburst Performance Gallery at 1715 Wyandotte. And the website for more information, details, what's on the calendar, theoutburstkc.com. Thank you, my love. And any last
words? Thank you, Maria. Come to the Outburst, enjoy a show. If you don't come to the Outburst, go somewhere and enjoy a show. Enjoy some of the wonderful, amazing, unique art. The art that pushes the boundaries that Kansas City has to offer, because there's tons of it.
We love what you do.
Thank you. I love what you do.
Very good. Come back and see us. And
I absolutely will.
You bet. We're going to be right back with Art Speak Radio after this. Terrific. And we're back with Art Speak Radio. This is Maria Vasquez-Boyd, 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. And we're live. Yay! Susanna Lee, thank you so much for coming in. Up next, they have the lovely and talented Andy Plotzian with the Woodneath Library. She's going to talk about upcoming events that's happening. If you haven't been to the Woodneath Library Center, it's located at 8900 Northeast Flint Block Road, and it is in Kansas City, Missouri, which it's kind of an odd place. I mean, a location, because it's kind of Liberty, but it's still Kansas City. And you can find out more information about the Woodneath Library Center at mycpl.org. Yeah, welcome, my friend.
Hello, Maria. How are you?
I'm dandy. Happy New Year to you, kid.
You as well.
Yeah, so what's happening at the Woodneath Library Center?
Many fabulous things, and it's kind of fate that you had your friend on here just before me, because I love the idea of her Sunday performance, and I think Smut is going to end up being thematic for this weekend, because we are doing a film screening called Love Between the Covers on Saturday afternoon. So if you're thinking about one, you might think about both, because they really make a lot of sense. Yes, they do.
Yeah.
So the screening is this Saturday, the 28th at 2 o'clock. It's a fabulous documentary from Lori Kahn. Really looks at the billion-dollar publishing industry that is romance. If you look at the whole publishing pie, all of the fiction genres, science fiction, fantasy, horror, absurdism, humor, everything under the sun, romance is 40% at least.
Really?
It's the biggest group of readers. It's the biggest group of writers. And this documentary really celebrates both. You know, this is the one place where you can be a rabid reader and put down a book a day and just, you know, immediately ask what's next, and you're in good company. And the writers are used to it. One of the things I enjoyed so much about the film was getting to see some of my favorite authors, some of the most famous authors, in their day job. Many of these women, and it is primarily women, are attorneys, teachers. There's a neurosurgeon, there's an astrophysicist. Writing romance was a side pursuit for them because they were also rabid readers at one point and felt they had stories to contribute to the community. There's so many great things that come out of publishing. It's romance publishing in particular. It's not just happily ever after. It's not just the fantasy, although that is very fun. They break a lot of new ground in this industry. This is always one of the first communities to embrace diverse stories, LGBTQ characters. Erotica had a huge explosion a few years ago, and now there are subgenres under that. It's just, it's so big, and that's kind of the point. So for anyone who is dabbling, you know, thinking maybe they want to write this as well, they'd like to be taken seriously, there are elements of this film that serve as a how-to, but it's also a lightning rod for that community of readers, letting them know that, you know, they are a respected and huge force within that industry. They control a lot of the publishing dollars, whether they mean to or not. And, it's a big community of fans. It's really, it's heartwarming, it's funny. I think there's something in there for everybody. There's a discussion for writers, but there's a big discussion for readers.
Well, that's interesting because, maybe some people have that vision that the romance writing, it's, you see, what comes to mind is the Harlequin
book. Oh, absolutely. People call them bodice rippers. Think about Fabio on the cover.
There you go.
It's
really shifted.
It's bigger than that. One of the best talks I saw a few years ago, and this author is actually featured in the documentary, a writer by the name of Sarah McLean, and she gave a talk called Real Women Rip Their Own Bodices. And it's about the romance novel as a conduit for feminism, and it was brilliantly displayed. And as I go to some of these conferences over the years as a librarian, I meet so many writers and even more readers, of course, and they do see it as feminism. They see it as an expression of female sexuality in a safe way, in a practical way, in a way that they identify to, and it doesn't have to conform to anything else. So the documentary is a great expression of that.
So for the documentary, are you suggesting folks register?
That would be wonderful.
Reserve a seat.
Absolutely, yeah. We will have room for everybody. We are going to have a short discussion led by Beth Atwater, who's the adult fiction selector for Johnson County Public Library. Mm-hmm. She's also a regular speaker on this circuit, a rabid reader herself. I don't know how many books a day this woman reads. And some fabulous treats from Classy Chocolates and Liberty, too. So something for everybody, I hope.
And again, tell us the date and the time.
Absolutely. It's this January, or this Saturday, January 28th at 2 o'clock at the Woodneath Library Center, which is part of Mid-Continent Public Libraries. You can register at mystorycenter.org.
Beautiful. And you're located at 8900 Northeast Flintlock Road, the Woodneath Library Center.
Absolutely.
Now, is it going to go to the other branches, or is it state?
We're starting it at the Story Center, and really, I have to say, normally the programs that we do under the Story Center umbrella are very much for creators. You know, we want to attract writers, we want to attract performers, filmmakers. Well, this is also for fans, and we've got a couple of things dedicated to people who embrace this world from the angle I normally do as a rabid fan. So the first is, of course, this film screening on Saturday, but we have another event Tuesday evening, which is more for the science fiction and fantasy lover in us all. It's called Worlds Together, Worlds Apart, and it is a discussion on the works of J.R.R. Tolkien and Frank Herbert. And I was a huge Dune fan. I think I picked that first book up when I was in the third or fourth grade, and I'm still an addict. I'll reread that series every once in a while. And I know so many people who feel that way about The Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit. They're just, two monoliths in the high fantasy fiction publishing world. So we're bringing in people from the Tolkien Society to lead a discussion on both and what made those so iconic. And that's coming up Tuesday, January 31st at 7 p.m., also at the Woodneath Library Center.
And something I want to ask about that, are you encouraging young writers, young adults to
Absolutely.
Attend? And would that be for both the documentary and this?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. Yeah. Both programs are actually geared towards adults. Okay. We always welcome young adults. Mm-hmm. I have so many teen writers in our community, and I think both discussions, including film screening, would be appropriate. Now, I wouldn't necessarily bring kiddos. I just don't think we'll have enough to keep them busy.
Yeah. Oh, I get that.
Fortunately for them, it's a beautiful library. They've got spaces.
But this is really exciting. You
I
know.
Think so.
Yeah. And that's just in this month alone.
That is just this month. What a good point you make. So coming up in February, just looking beyond, we have really ramped up our speaker series, which we do offer by virtue of the wonderful folks over at Rainy Day Books. Mm-hmm. On the 23rd, we're bringing in Missouri native Alex George. He was actually, I shouldn't say native because he's originally from the UK, but he's been living in Missouri for a very long time. He's got a new book out called Setting Free the Kites. And that visit will be on February 23rd at 7 p.m. And then we are also bringing in Andrew McCarthy. Sigh, throw the hair back. You're like me and you grew up with Pretty in Pink. I'm so excited to have a film heroine who was named Andy. He will actually be visiting with us in April on the 17th.
And what is his visit for?
He has his first work of young adult fiction coming out.
And what do you think?
What do I think of the book? I'm actually kind of impressed, but, you know, I have to say, I know him as an actor. I can think of all of the 80s movies that we all love that he's been involved in. But he's done a huge amount of travel writing, I would say creative nonfiction. So this is the first leap into fiction, and it's wonderful. And I think it's inspired because he's a parent as well. So he has some fresh perspective.
And I think it'll be interesting for people who know about him, of, you know, his film career and work, to now look at him in a different light, and folks that are younger than us that don't have that reference, you know, they can see him with fresh eyes.
Oh, I was doing a creative writing class for a high school classroom last week, and they were so excited about the workshops that we have around creative writing, or several of them want to write romance, so they want to come to the film screening. The whole Andrew McCarthy connection, Pretty in Pink, or Weekend at Bernie's, that fell on deaf ears. But, you know, they're freshmen. There's hope for us all.
Well, you know, I think it's really exciting that the library is reaching out and embracing young writers, because they need to have their voices heard. They need that expression. So, you know, thanks for doing that.
We have a storytelling program that has come together on Thursday nights for teens to do spoken words, mm-hmm. story slams, rap slams, to explore creating content and figuring out what that looks like in terms of performance. And it's a very rewarding thing to undertake. What I am most happy is when I see a class that has been built somewhat for adults uniquely,
yeah.
and to see teens bravely coming in and contributing their content in that room as well.
That's exciting.
We are getting more
yeah.
and more of that. It's,
yeah.
it's a good community. I'm lucky to do the work I do.
Absolutely. So he's coming in February.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Let me go down the list here. I've got quite a few. So we're bringing in Sean Connolly on March 7th. Sean Connolly does nonfiction, primarily geared at, I would say, older kids, perhaps teens. He's mm-hmm. got a new book of amazing sports experiments. That one is going to be fun for the entire family. May 13th. Anna Quinlan will be joining us. She's coming in as part of the speaker mm-hmm. series, but also for our Library Lovers program. It's going to be a wonderful evening, and that one is going to fill up very, very fast. That, again, is at May mm-hmm. or on May 13th. Mm-hmm. And these are all at the Woodneath Library Center, all as part of the Story Center program. So for any listeners that would like to quickly sign up for Sean Connery.
We wish.
That's a friend. She got me confused with that one. Sean Connolly, Andrew McCarthy, or Anna Quinlan, they just need to visit mystorycenter.org.
And if you're just tuning in to ArtSpeak Radio, I'm talking to Andy Palutzian, who's the librarian there at at the Story Center, right?
Correct, yeah.
At the Woodneath Library Center. And, you know, talking about some really wonderful events that are coming up, and so the website,
mystorycenter.org.
Yeah, because that will give you a calendar of events that are coming up, guest speakers, workshops, reading series,
everything
poetry,
under the sun,
all of that, yeah.
If you are interested in creating something, whether it's more on the fiction or the nonfiction side of things, if you plan to write a book, if you want to translate it to film or a spoken word performance, a play, what have you, we have resources for you. We have workshops and events that are for you. We also have a community for you, which is
yeah.
exactly why we all love doing this kind of work.
I like that. Any last words? Did we leave anything out? Is there anything that you want to mention?
Just brave the less fantastic weather this weekend and get out in Kansas City. It sounds like there's a lot of fabulous stuff to do. If you're interested in this industry, please come to the film screening on Saturday. If you can't make it, please make your way Sunday to see Smut live and in person. That just sounds wonderful.
Susanna Lee is like, yes, I'm there.
I agree.
Well, thank you, my friend, and please come back
thank
anytime.
You, Maria.
And let's get you back to the meeting so you can get... you won't be late.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks. And we're going to be right back with ArtSpeak Radio right after this. And I'm Maria Vasquez-Boyd. This is ArtSpeak Radio that you're tuned into on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. And you can also listen online at www.kkfi.org. And, yeah, we have podcasts available. If you weren't aware of that, podcasts are available by our wonderful volunteers who post those every Friday. And you can go to our website, again, kkfi.org, and iTunes. Next up, I have the lovely Amy Kligman, who's with Charlotte Street Foundation. And they're pleased to announce the launch of a new pilot program, the Startup Residency, which is a unique program in Kansas City, and it's committed to fostering the development of an up-and-coming innovative arts initiative. And so let's hear some more from Amy Kligman.
Welcome. Hi, Maria.
Hello, my friend.
It's great to see you. Thanks for having me on.
Always good to see you. Charlotte Street does so much for our creative community. There's so many people that I know who have been awarded different grants and so on, residencies and all that. But this is something new that you're launching, right?
Right. And it is inspired by the fact that we've had a number of kind of small organizations or collaboratives kind of grow up as part of the Charlotte Street family. and over time, we've had a lot of different opportunities for people to participate as a group in Charlotte Street, but we haven't had an initiative that really focused on kind of the needs of an organization or a group or an artist-run something-something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's kind of what we're trying to do here.
So Charlotte 3 has been around for 20 years.
That's right. It's our anniversary.
It's your anniversary. So I'm sure you have some things that are coming up for that. But talking about this unique program, the Startup Residency, I understand the deadline is coming up soon, February 6th.
Yes, and it was a really quick turnaround for a deadline this year. Uh-huh. And part of that has to do with some of the resources we're hoping to put in place for the resident that is chosen. This is a pilot, so in this mm-hmm. particular iteration, we're only going to be choosing one resident group. But, you know, we do hope that if we're going to follow kind of the success of this year and look at it, and if it is successful, there might be, opportunities in the future to grow it to host more than one organization. Mm-hmm. But we're gonna give it a try this year with one.
Terrific. And that's going to be a 12-month residency?
Right. It will be a 12-month residency. We're going to basically turn over the venue of Project Space, which is connected to Paragraph Gallery downtown, to the resident. Mm-hmm. So they'll have kind of the run of that space and, again, be connected to us in terms of we'll provide networking opportunities, mm-hmm. mentorship, and kind of help them with their articulated goals along the way during the course of that year.
So I understand that this will be chosen by a selection committee comprised
That's right.
of arts administrators and arts entrepreneurs, and the NAT recipient would receive 12 months of rent-free storefront space at Charlotte Street Project Space. That's at 21 East 12th Street in downtown Kansas City. Artist Inc. or Artist Inc. 2, the professional development training opportunity, and mentoring networking opportunities, and so on. So, again, the turnaround, as you said, is fairly quickly. Deadline for applications is February 6th.
That's correct. Yeah. And, what we are asking that people that are interested provide, we're hoping that these are, we ask that these are organizations that are 3 years in progress or less. So the thinking is that these are people that have kind of already established an idea, or they're mm-hmm. they're starting to grow an idea, they have some kind of proof of concept, enough that, they're coming to us with something that isn't I'd say this is something that's in some kind of early stage of development. It's not they're coming to us for the residency, as the residency has spurred the idea, basically. We're not looking for the right. residency to be the reason why people are kind of coming up with ideas. But we are asking that people fill a residency application form, provide the bio and CV mm-hmm. of the lead artist and primary collaborators, an organizational budget for 2017, and then demonstration of artistic merit, which is depending on the kind of business or program or organization that it is, mm-hmm. Images or sound clips, video clips that demonstrate kind of the quality of the work that's being made. And the selection criteria for this is really about, so Charlotte Street kind of prides itself in being, kind of a catalyst for the arts ecosystem of Kansas City, for looking at, the broad spectrum of what's going on here and kind of anticipating what's next. Mm-hmm. I think in this particular situation, what we're hoping is that these organizations that we're fostering are part of that ecosystem mm-hmm. to come. And so we're looking for organizations that can demonstrate how they are going to bring value to kind of the social cultural capital of Kansas City. So what is it that they do that's a little bit different than what's already mm-hmm. here? Are you a publication? Are you filling a need for arts writing? Are you filling a need for a performance space? It could be anything that kind of falls into that category.
Now, I don't know if this is the right question or not, but would not-for-profits be omitted?
No. Not-for-profits are absolutely encouraged.
Okay.
And we feel like there might be a number of people that are interested in applying for this that might not even know yet if they are a nonprofit or a for-profit organization. Mm-hmm. They might be, somebody that's using a fiscal sponsor or kind of in like a hybrid zone. But really what it gets down to is what's their intent? Like, mm-hmm. what's their mm-hmm. goal? What are they bringing? A lot of arts organizations or arts businesses are pretty different from a standard sort of entrepreneurship because their goals might go beyond, say, just, making a profit.
This right.
is, Right. This is not necessarily a place for, like, the arts organizations that are, you know, solidly just about, like, making money, which that doesn't seem like a thing. What we really are trying to foster is people that are kind of pursuing, like I said, a social cultural need.
Beautiful. And for more information about this startup residency, the website is www.charlottestreet.org. The deadline coming up soon, February 6th. Is it a long process to sort of fill out the application?
The application itself is not long.
Okay.
We've tried to keep this simple. And as I said, if you're an organization that's been around for a year or is in those early stages, you've probably got a lot of this information kind of called already.
Sure.
So we're hoping that, you know, getting that together is not that difficult. Just kind of a short submission process. We have you send those submissions to an email address that's identified there. And then we'll have our jurors look at everything and get down to a list of five finalists that will come in for interviews.
And this will be, again, quick, because the 12-month residency will launch March 6th. So.
Right. And all that means is that the space will be available at that time.
Yeah.
And some of the resources will be available at that time. So we'll kind of start the process of meeting with the organization and talking about their goals. They'll have the space for a year starting then.
And what else does Charlotte Street have coming up?
Well, it's a good time for calls for entry. We do have the Rocket Grant application window is also open right now. That deadline is not until March 27th, so there's some time for Rocket Grants.
And do tell our listeners about the Rocket Grant, what that entails.
Right, and Rocket Grants is one of the programs that I kind of referenced earlier that, you know, some kind of startup organizations have kind of come up through. But that is a program that is really meant to fund, you know, inventive public-facing art projects in surprising places in Kansas City, projects that are not happening in, kind of standard art venues, including our own venues.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a program that's been going on for some time in partnership with the Spencer Museum of Art and also the Andy Warhol Foundation. Those are $6,000 grants that are project-based grants. So that will be happening, and then...
Let me just back up a little bit.
Yeah.
So for any of this information, the Rocket Grant, the startup residency, and everything else that you're going to discuss, the website would be the charlottestreet.org?
That's correct.
Okay.
And also, for Rockets, there is another website that's 100% dedicated to Rockets. That's just the Rocket blog. So people will be able to access more information about Rocket Grants at rocketgrants.org.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And besides that,
there's always so much. I always sound like such a manic person when I'm talking about Charlotte Street events because there's so many things.
Sure.
But we do also have opening this weekend a very cool new partnership with New Ear Contemporary Chamber Ensemble. So there will be a presentation of a flutist, Shana Gutierrez, called Voices 3. She's going to be presenting the premiere of two works by preeminent composers Klaus Stefan Monkoff. I'm going to say that so wrong. and Marcos Stropa. So we're excited about that as well. That is Saturday. The doors open at 7 and the performance is at 8.
And where again?
And that's at La Esquina. And that's a ticketed event.
Uh-huh. Very good.
Yeah.
That's a great space. I just was in attendance for the closing reception of Que Pasa USA, and that was just a very powerful show.
So glad to hear you say that. Yeah. I know Lynette Miranda, our curator in residence, would be thrilled to hear.
Hello, Lynette.
Yes, she's fantastic. Que Pasa was a great exhibition, great turnout. And Lynette has a show coming up again in March. I know that show is still kind of in the works in terms of working out details, so I don't want to speak too much to it yet.
But I know she's here for an 18-month, which is probably down to like maybe 10 months now, because when I first met her.
Right.
She was here for a residency.
Yeah, she's here for the curatorial residency, and she'll be here through the rest of 2017. So we're thrilled to have her here, and her next show, as I said, it'll be just as exciting as K-Pop was.
Yeah.
We're thrilled about that.
Yeah, very good. There's so many opportunities that are made available through Charlotte Street Foundation for creative people. And it's not just visual artists, right?
Right. Yeah. No, Charlotte Street is a multidisciplinary arts organization. You know, the performance that I mentioned that's coming up on Saturday is actually obviously a music performance. Mm-hmm. We have a residency that provides space for musicians, for dancers, for writers, as well as visual artists. So, and our awards are also for visual and performing artists. The visual awards that we give are $10,000 cash awards, and there are three for visual artists every year and two for performing artists as well.
You know, I'm at the top of the hour, at the top of the discussion, I mentioned that Charlotte Street is celebrating their 20-year history. So do you have something special lined up for that? I mean, are we going to have, like, party hats and cake and
well,
confetti?
Yes. There are so many special things lined up for that 20th anniversary. So part of it is the launch of these new, I say these new pilot residencies. There's actually two. The startup residency is launching now, and we have another residency opportunity that's also a pilot that will be launching in the fall. So that's one of the things that we're doing to celebrate, is actually just to launch a couple of new initiatives. But we did go through a major rebranding. If you do happen to go to that website, it's a brand new website. We're in the process of building an artist registry that will be associated with that website. So that'll be phase two of our website launch. So all those things in celebration of the anniversary year. And then we do have some extensive programming planned with a number of partners. So there's a program called Every Street is Charlotte Street, which is going to be working in partnership with 20 different partners in the Kansas City area, including all of the kind of the various museums and grassroots organizations, everything from the Nerman and the Nelson Spencer Museum of Art. The Central Library is involved and actually has a show up right now. So, again, we'll have 20 partners all over the city hosting projects with Charlotte Street Awards Fellows over the course of the year. And then we are going to have birthday parties, Maria.
Well, yeah.
there's actually going to be six birthday parties that are going to be hosted by artists. So hosted by artists in artist spaces. And those will be kind of small, intimate gatherings that will be celebrating Charlotte Street's 20th anniversary year as well.
Well, I like that recognition because, you know, for the arts to be around, for an arts organization to be around for 20 years, I mean, that's pretty monumental.
We feel really good about it. Yeah. I mean, over those 20 years, Charlotte Street has done quite a lot.
And you haven't aged a bit.
Yeah, we like to think we're still nimble.
I love that. Well, thank you so much, my friend Amy Kligman, for all the information about this really exciting stuff that's happening for Charlotte Street Foundation and our artists of our community of artists and creative people. So
thank you so much. Well, yeah, and keep an eye out this year. It's going to be an exciting time.
We love that. Come back.
Okay, thanks.
We're going to be right back, right after this. This is ArtSpeak Radio, and I'm Maria Vasquez-Boyd, here every Wednesday, noon to 1, on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Up next, I have a terrific guest, and they've all been terrific. Renee Agetti has been with NYA Magazine since 2006, the founder of NYA, right?
Yes.
And he understood that it was developed from the need for a printed medium that provided the Spanish-speaking population of the greater Kansas City area with a resource that speaks to their more specific and specialized needs when it comes to entertainment, information, and education. So welcome, my friend.
Thank you. Thanks for the invitation.
Yeah. So this is the first. I have
first time here in your program. I've been in KKFI before. And the Breaking Through the Darkness, that's a Spanish program. But this is the first time with you and first time at this time.
I'm so glad to have you. So let's talk about your magazine. You said it was developed from a need of, the printed medium. So let's talk about that.
If you think about it, we started it 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. Like 11 years ago.
Yeah.
So at that time, the Hispanic population was growing, mm-hmm. and there has been always a presence in Kansas City, but we saw that it was growing and growing, and we needed to connect. We needed to keep ourselves informed mm-hmm. and to know what was going on in the community, not only about serious things, but we need to know cultural things. Like your program is to share mm-hmm. artists, to share concerts, to mm-hmm. share performance, and to share what's going on, not only with Hispanics, but in the city in general. So our objective is that people find out what's going on and they can participate.
And I have to say, this the magazine itself, it's truly a joy, because it's actually, you know, beautifully, you know, just aesthetics alone, the photographs and the feel of the magazine and all that is just really lovely, because it's something that is so rare these days.
Well, but, thank you.
But most importantly, it's the content, as you mentioned. And, you know, I want to ask you, or I want to have you tell our listeners where folks can pick up a copy.
We are all around the city. The uh-huh. whole we try to cover the whole metro area.
Uh-huh.
And mostly it's a free publication, so uh-huh. people can pick it up. We are where we see that there is a high traffic of Hispanic people.
Mm-hmm.
So we are in restaurants, libraries, doctor's office, beauty yeah. salons.
It's kind of like the pitch. I mean, in that you can find
yeah.
it, you know, it's pretty common, but you can find it in the public space.
Yeah, in a sense that uh-huh. it's a free publication uh-huh. and you can pick it up in many different places. That's how we are similar. Now, we are different on the sense that it's all in Spanish. And we, you know, we are more like a niche.
Uh-huh.
We have a
right.
more niche audience.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, and is it online as well?
Yes, also we are online.
Yeah.
We have to be.
Yeah.
You know, when
yeah.
we started it, Facebook didn't exist.
Yeah.
Twitter, yeah. I guess, was only a few months old, and you know, we are, you know, doing like them, you know, Twitter and Facebook.
Well, yeah.
But anyway, so no, it didn't exist, but now it's a need. We have to be on social media.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be online. People can yeah. read the magazine online.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you look on our website,
mm-hmm.
they can download a copy of the magazine and they can read it on the tablet or on their computer. And, you know, you can see our website for articles, for extended
mm-hmm.
extended content.
Now, okay. How often is it published? How often?
It's monthly.
Monthly. Uh-huh.
So once a month, it comes out, you know, beginning of the month, and
mm-hmm.
pretty much covers the whole month and what's going on for that period.
And would you share the website for our listeners so that, you know, if you can't get one in your hands, you know, they can...
Yeah. Our website is enyemagazine.com. So it's E-N-Y-E. Magazine, magacine.com.
And I want to talk about the name of the magazine, Enya, because, you know, it's so often just sort of assumed that everyone knows Enya. The
yeah, elder. Well, no, it's not assumed. Actually, we, you know, we try to explain to everyone why Enya.
Mm-hmm.
Enya is a letter. It's just a letter mm-hmm. in the Spanish language. So it's just an N with a little tilde, a little mustache mm-hmm. on top. So
I like that, the mustache on top. It is true, it's true.
So it's like the hard sound of the N.
Yeah.
And a lot of people know the letter when you say words like piña colada,
yeah.
piña, so it's uh-huh. N, piña. That's the Ñ sound. And why we chose Ñ is because it's unique for Spanish.
It's beautiful. And you know, I mean, it just makes for a great logo, too.
Yeah.
I mean, really. It really does.
No, and it's just so simple because anyone that speaks Spanish
yeah.
or anyone that has taken even a class of Spanish,
uh-huh.
they have to learn that word. That's what,
yeah.
on the first class, because starting with the alphabet, you have to learn, hey, this is, you know, this is the English alphabet, and you compare it with the Spanish alphabet, and there is only one difference, and it's Ñ. So we are complementing, you know, this
mm-hmm.
is the only
mm-hmm.
letter that is extra, and we found it works perfectly for what we're trying to do.
So it's interesting because it comes out once a month, but it is really filled with some terrific articles. Now, unfortunately, I do not speak a lick of Spanish, never have. My folks did, and unfortunately, that's the way it is. But I can kind of muddle through enough to understand what some of the articles are, but they're really really current, and they really hit a person in terms of the opinions and thinking and the entertainment that's really directed for this audience.
Yeah, we are lucky to have you know, sponsors or people that want to advertise,
yeah,
that allow us to have a big, in a sense, you know, a big magazine where we have a lot of content.
Uh-huh.
So we have opinion, we have health matters, we have community matters, we have entertainment. We publish what's going on in the city, what is interesting for the city.
Yeah.
So it's, we have a lot. We have a lot of content that people find useful, and anyone can find something that they may like.
Absolutely.
On the magazine. So.
Yeah. Now, as far as your writers, is it local writers here that put together articles?
Mostly.
Or
are you, mostly, even though we have a few people, a couple of people that contribute from different places, but mostly it's local writers.
Terrific.
And, yeah, we have local photographers and, you know, design the team, and it's mostly local. We focus more on local.
Uh-huh.
Local news, local events,
uh-huh,
because, you know, nowadays it's easier for people to find out about national events.
Sure,
and
sure.
So if they want to find out about, hey, what's going on in Mexico, it's just a click away. So we focus on the local happenings.
Uh-huh.
So people can find out. And, you know, this is why we are, you know, why we're still here, because people want to find out what's going on in the city, what's going on with the community, and, you know,
you very much feel that need, you know.
That's our goal. That's what we try to do.
Well, especially in this time and age where, you know, you're finding a lot of people laid off from, you know, larger magazines, newspapers, and that sort of thing. It's just, it really speaks to the power of Inye magazine.
Yes, it's a shift,
mm-hmm,
because, yeah, like I say, you can find out about national news. Even, you know, you don't have to read an interview, because you can see the Twitter account from an artist,
mm-hmm,
and they will tell you right away what's going on. But there is still a need for this niche group,
mm-hmm,
where we are really specialized about talking to them. And people like to be talked to, you know?
Yeah.
It's like when you call me by name, it's, hey, you are talking to me,
mm-hmm,
directly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's not, hey, that guy over there,
yeah,
or that group over there. You are talking to me by name. So that's why we go directly to the people, because we talk to them in the language that they like, even though many of our readers are bilingual.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they like to be informed. And they like not only the language, but the topics that they like, or the things that they want to find out about.
Now, I want to ask you about your distribution. Of course, you can find it here locally in Kansas City, but can people find it, say, like in Topeka or Lawrence? Or
Lawrence, yes, we are in Lawrence. We are in, we'll say about 8-10 locations in Lawrence.
Okay.
Don't ask me which one. No, I know there is a market,
yeah,
and there is a few stores and a couple restaurants that we have the magazine in Lawrence.
Yeah.
We don't go to Topeka, but we cover the whole metro area,
yeah,
so all that, you know, we can consider Kansas City.
Yeah, I just wondered, because I know you can, of course, reach a larger audience online, but, you know, I just think of the pockets of Latinos in outlying Kansas City.
Yes. So. And we find out, just by coincidence, that maybe there is some people that have like little grocery stores or this, that they come to the city,
yeah,
and they pick up like 10 magazines and they take it back to whatever, like Sedalia, they take it back to Emporia. So because we find out, like, people, hey, I got the magazine from Emporia. Like, what? We don't go there. But, you know, the owners, or, you know, some people, when they come to Kansas City, they bring some back with them, and they share with the community.
And I'm going to say that, well, first of all, if you just tuned into ArtSpeak Radio, we're winding down our interview with Vinay Agheri with Inye Magazine. And, you know, I do want to ask you, is this printed locally?
Not in Kansas City, but yeah, in Missouri.
That's fine, because it's really a beautiful magazine to hold in your hands and the articles and all that. You know, I haven't looked at this most recent issue. Are you still doing the horoscopes?
Yes, we are doing horoscopes.
You know, that's big.
Yeah.
That's big. And again, please tell us the website for folks who are looking for it online.
The website is Enye Magazine. So it's ENYEMAGACINE. Enye Magazine.
And you know, I've known you for some time, just sort of indirectly, because I've also had a studio in the building that you're located in.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
and I remember when you had the ponytail.
Oh, that was, yeah.
Well,
a few years ago.
Just a few years ago. Yeah. Now, do you have anything that you want to mention that I have not talked about that you want to share with listeners? Or if you want to say something to Spanish, a shout out to anyone that may be listening?
I guess I want to say hi to a lot of our readers are fans of your program as well.
Oh, great.
Now, seeing our Facebook page, I see that a lot of our friends and readers are fans of your program. Mm-hmm. So just say hi to them. And to everyone listening, just pick up the magazine. It's you know, we find out that a lot of people that want to learn Spanish or practice, they do it because, like you say, we're doing current things. It's not a boring textbook.
Right, right.
When you talk about fictitious things. But this is just happening here right now. So pick it up, check it out. And also, if you want to reach the Hispanic population in Kansas City or anyone that will speak Spanish, you know, check us out. You know, if you have an event, if there is a concert going on, and we estimate that we're about 10% of the population of Kansas City. So, you know, there is 10% extra to reach for, you know, I know this program is more about art, and hey, you know, Latinos, we enjoy art as much as anyone else, and
absolutely,
we are great artists. So,
you know, and one more thing before we close out, I just want to ask you if anyone has a topic of interest or want to talk to you about writing an article or suggesting something they can contact
you. We have an open section to write about opinion. They have an opinion about something, and sometimes people suggest to us, hey, why don't you write about this or that? Or even people send us, you know, their contribution, and we do the translation and the adaptation so we can publish that article. It has, you know, we have done it for since we started. Because we are open, we are an open magazine. Yeah. You know, we accept contributions, we accept, you know, suggestions, criticism, so... Yeah, it's a community newspaper magazine.
Well, I really enjoy talking with you, my friend. And anytime you want to come back and
thank you. Thanks for the invitation.
You bet. Well, don't go away.
Okay.
You know, I want to thank all my other guests too: Amy Kligman, Renee Agati, Andy Palizzi, and Susanna Lee, Lucky Deluxe, for coming in today and sharing the information with us that we need to know about what's happening in Kansas City. Also, next week, February 1st, Ralph Tomlinson, Mo Shinola, and Merritt Benz will be in the studio. Stay tuned next for Jeff Harshbarger. I think he's back from Cuba. I don't know. We'll see. Stay tuned. Jazz in the Afternoon is next at 1 o'clock. Find us on Facebook. Like us. Download our podcast at kkfi.org or iTunes. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it for listening. And, honey, I'm coming home.